Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to How to Survive, the show that teaches you how to survive the things that can kill you.
Like chemical spills, Legionnaire's disease,
whatever that is,
deadly scorpions,
and also the things that just make you wish you were dead.
Shrews, nipple piercings.
Yikes.
How about experimental theater?
Oh, I'll take the nipple piercings.
You know what I'll take?
What?
Our theme song.
Christine.
Danielle.
It feels like it's been a long time since we've seen each other.
Too long.
It's been like over a week.
Sadness.
Right, because we had Thanksgiving.
I missed you guys.
Missed you too.
Welcome back.
Yep.
I guess.
I like your shirt, Garen.
Thank you.
It's a really nice blue.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
It's a Gap original.
It looks really nice on you.
Right off the shelf.
Right off the model.
Yeah,
you saw the model in the window and you were like, I can see
my. I'm not above doing that. If they don't have my size left and it's on the model, take it off.
Your size is always on the model.
Yeah.
We know what size you are. The small on the model size.
Right. By the way, I went to this sort of chiropractor-ish thing that Jimmy goes to for my neck.
Witch doctor.
Well, yeah. Well, she has you stand on two scales, like one foot on one scale and one foot on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently I'm 17 pounds heavier on one side.
Stop
than the
that.
Other.
No, you are not.
Are you just working out one thigh constantly?
Well, then she adjusted.
Pilates is not working.
So then she adjusted me, and it was even.
No, that is bogus.
It sounds bogus,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I know. It just doesn't seem to make any sense. Also, I was 9 pounds heavier once I was adjusted. Because the first time she weighed me, I was like, that's not my weight. That's way below what I weigh. That's not accurate.
Yeah.
Then when she adjusted me, I don't know. I mean, what is she putting her foot on one of the sides? I don't think so.
They have goofy scales.
That's a toddler.
What?
A whole 17 pounds.
I know. Well,
did you take a toddler with you on one side?
Oh, yeah, I did. I forgot to mention that. Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand it. My neck is really screwed up, though. It was very depressing.
You know my chiropractor story, right?
No, what's your chiropractor story?
Remember, I don't know if you know this, but when we worked in the E building on Wilshire, there were chiropractors, I think, who were brothers, and somehow this didn't become a show.
Wait, in the E building?
On the other, you know, you walked across,
yeah,
or as they say in Ohio, across, to the other, you know, shiny copper mirrored buildings.
Yeah, Owen was there for a second.
Yeah, so, but same side of the street.
Right.
There were brothers who were chiropractors, and they were kind of star chiropractor somehow, but still didn't become a show.
I can't. I'm trying to fathom how E didn't just go across the street and make them a show.
So my neck was all messed up.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize yet that I should never go to a chiropractor because mm-hmm. I hadn't been to one. I don't know if somebody recommended them to me. I don't know how we ended up in that office. But these guys were like, I don't know, those kind of guys that go to tanning places mm-hmm. and have hair plugs and work out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of, mm-hmm. like the Property Brothers before the Property Brothers.
Right.
Right?
Okay, yeah,
but
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Weird, like creepier.
Okay.
So the guys, I don't know, he's like kind of being not that nice to me, but not mean, just sort of short with me and not, and kind of like looking at my charts or whatever. And then, you know, he comes down to like adjust my neck and he goes, oh, you are pretty.
Oh, no. What? Are you kidding me?
Nope.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Did he adjust you? Or did you kick him on the
balls? Besides that?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was so taken aback. I don't think I said anything the rest of the time because I couldn't believe that, like, in his mind, I guess he was like, I'm not going to pay attention to her.
Because she's ugly.
She's not attractive.
Right.
And then it, like,
oh, light bulb.
He said his thought out loud.
Right. What did you say anything?
No.
Yeah, what do you say? That's bananas.
Like, what do you say? Like, in the moment, I just was so shocked that I didn't, it didn't occur
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, that's fucking bananas.
Yeah.
So it didn't help, is what you're saying.
Made it actually a lot worse.
She's not a traditional chiropractor. She's not cracking and stuff. It's a little different, and hopefully it'll help. And the x-ray was extremely depressing, and she basically blames it on ballet, which she's probably right. But did I ever tell you about the time? I'm sure I did. When I was working at Disney, and they had a masseuse come, and the masseuse was the guy who starred in George of the Jungle Part 2.
If you did, I'm happy to hear it a second time.
It wasn't Brendan Fraser. It was the sequel. And he was the masseuse.
Oh, that makes me sad for him.
I know, except, you know what? I think he was happy. He looked like a guy who was, like, still in good shape, but, like,
yeah.
Too old to, you know, the face doesn't match the body anymore, you know? Like,
oh, like, honey, I know it.
Yeah. Oh,
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know which. I don't even know what to be sadder about.
I was going to say, I'm not sure which part doesn't match which part. Neither of them are a good option.
I'm like,
they're all old. Just
all of mine
way.
Is just sliding down like a dolly painting. You know, the watches and how they slide.
Yeah.
That's just all everything.
Melting watches. A face of melting watches.
That's how that chiropractor would describe me now.
Yeah. Right. Oh, you're not pretty.
She's melting watch face. If he ever knew what a dolly painting was.
Yeah. He thinks it's D-O-L-L-Y.
He's just got dogs playing poker.
Yeah.
That's right. His painting.
Unironically. Are you looking up the guy? Is that what you're doing?
I am, yes.
He was nice. He said something weird and I can't remember what it was. It wasn't.
You are pretty?
No, people don't say that to me. No, it wasn't any.
Maybe they just think it, but they know not to say it out loud.
That must be it. It wasn't anything. I don't think it was inappropriate. It was just bizarre. Like, I have nice earlobes or something. I mean, it was really weird. It wasn't sexual. It was just bizarre.
You don't think it was sexual, but you don't know how into earlobes that guy is.
That's a good point. That might just be his thing.
That's his kink.
Yeah.
How long did he massage your earlobes for is the question.
45 minutes.
Wow.
Oh, my God. That just reminded me, you guys. One time I was getting a vaccine
mm-hmm.
and at like Rite Aid or Walgreens.
Walgreens.
At Walgreens.
It's like how Vons is John's.
Yes.
It's like
it's Walgreens.
They just take off half the W.
And the guy giving me the vaccine goes, wow, you have really beautiful arms.
Really?
this was a few years ago.
Wow.
It was so fucking weird.
That is so weird. Thank God that's where you get your
in there.
Needle.
Ugh,
right.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Beautiful arms.
I guess I should cut to the chase and, you know, talk about what's on everyone's mind.
Please get there.
The stuffing.
We're all dying. Did you see the comment about somebody saying it was my kitchen? They go, we know this is Christine's kitchen because Jimmy won't let her cook in the kitchen. We know he can't stand smells, so this must be Christine's kitchen.
They think I went to your house to make stuffing while you were out of town?
I don't know.
30 miles away. That's so bizarre. No, I did not see that comment. That's very funny. Well, okay. First of all, every time I read it, it got more and more confusing to me. And I'm not kidding. Every time I read it, I'm like, the commas are all over the place. I don't know what refers to what. What am I supposed to get that's bottled? What does she mean by dry ingredients? What? Okay, so I found a cheesecloth after three attempts. I open it up. It's 3 feet by 3 feet.
So you made a dress.
Yeah, I put the herbs. I made a halter top dress.
Cute.
And wrapped the herbs on my neck, which also didn't help.
Really, so, brought out the earlobes, though.
Yeah, yes. Well, I was talking to Chantal a couple of days later, my friend Chantal, and she was like, well, so you cut it. And I'm like, literally did not occur to me to cut it. I literally did not occur to me to cut it.
That's hilarious.
I wrapped a little sprig of herbs.
In 3 feet of cheesecloth.
In 3 feet of cheesecloth that I did not wash ahead of time because I didn't know you had to until I opened up the package. I'm like, well, fuck that. I don't have time to do a load of laundry in between.
No.
You know. So, now, since I've washed the cheesecloth, yes. I'm like, oh, that's what a cheesecloth looks like. Like, before, it just looks like half a pillowcase. So,
Now you're using as a pillowcase.
Those herbs,
they're so relaxing.
Oh, my God. So, I don't know. I had basically a pillowcase sitting in the in the tray of food. And then, okay. So, I realized my mom had intended that you're supposed to buy the chestnuts in a jar or can, but I saw that they were at Trader Joe's and I panicked and just bought them because I thought, oh, I need to just, I don't know where you get chestnuts. They're not at Target. I don't know why it didn't fucking occur to me to go to Ralph's.
So Who would know?
So I bought the chestnuts as is, which was with the shell on.
Sure. That makes sense to me.
So I follow directions and it says you have to roast the chestnuts.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
So you make an X with them on the back with a knife. Okay. And I'm like, well, this is for sure going to take off a finger. But it didn't. And I didn't know why I was making the X. Literally did not know why I was making the X. Just did what I was told. This is what I said. I just followed directions.
Witchcraft.
Right. So pentagon on one.
Yep.
So I roast them. I take them out.
In the oven. You didn't build a fire.
No, I did not do it on an open fire.
You did like a cauldron in the back. The cats came.
I'm so literal with cooking. The cats came and they're rubbing their little paws. So I get them out. I do everything else. I'm getting everything ready. I'm guessing on the orange juice, whatever. Da-da-da.
We were supposed to, right?
Just whatever you think. So, well, what I did was I saw on the Mrs. Cubbinsons, which I got the wrong kind.
I've never heard of this brand.
I don't know.
Way.
It's so funny to me. You've never heard of it. It's like, you know, very basic.
Like Mrs. Butterworth's.
Sure.
But not is racist.
Not racist. Yeah. Maybe it is. Maybe it's like Irish race. Cubbinson. I don't know what that is. But anyway, I was supposed to get the cornbread stuffing, and I think I just got the plain old stuffing. So that I didn't realize. But anyway, so I'm looking at these hazelnuts, mm-hmm. and I start cutting one in half.
Chestnuts,
sorry. Yes. I start cutting one in half because I remember them being brown. Mm-hmm. And then I realize that's the shell. I have to take that off.
Oh, you roasted them with a shell. Oh,
you
okay.
have to.
Yes, yes,
because
yes.
That's why you make the X, I figured out, was to get the shell off.
Got it.
But I almost started putting them in
with the shell on.
With the shell.
Oh my God.
Because
the Thanksgiving of broken teeth.
Yes. So then, I figured it out.
Thank goodness.
Guess how easy it is to get chestnuts out of their shell?
Not
easy.
Yeah.
I maybe salvaged 2/3 of them.
How? Hammer? Tell me.
Well, you can crack them mm-hmm. because you've made that X okay. with the knife, right?
With a nutcracker? Or what do you need to
do? No, just bend them.
Oh.
But sometimes it comes off very easily, and sometimes you have to dig it out.
Oh, this sounds hard.
Yeah, it was. I enlisted Oliver to help me. It was a disaster. It was a mess. So there weren't that many chestnuts in there because there just weren't that many left. It went fine. There were fewer people at Thanksgiving than normal. I'm going to blame that on why there was half of it left at the end. Also, some people eat regular stuffing that's not vegetarian. It was pretty good. It almost tasted like hers. It was maybe just. On the box of Mrs. Cubbinson's, it says you can add an egg. Okay. You don't have to.
What did you do?
So I didn't.
Okay.
And that probably cost me a little bit of moisture.
Did your mom add an egg?
Who's to know? Garen, did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
I did. I went to my friend's house. We had Popeye's Cajun turkey.
Popeye's?
Mm-hmm.
You mean you love that turkey from Popeye's?
That is
what
it is.
They make a pot. Yeah. Like, is it a whole turkey? No.
Yep.
Popeye's makes a whole turkey.
Yep.
Okay.
And it was one of the best turkeys I've ever had in
my life. That is bizarre.
It is shocking. I almost couldn't eat anymore because I was so shocked.
Did you have fixins?
What did she make? She made some TikTok mac and cheese.
What does that mean?
A recipe from TikTok?
Yeah, I think this whole meal was planned around TikTok.
My God. You kids. You kids, you're so silly.
And then kids on your TikTok.
She got Texas Roadhouse buns.
I don't know what that is.
That's
a brand?
Texas Roadhouse is a chain restaurant.
Okay.
And they have delicious biscuit bun things.
Oh, okay.
With like cinnamon butter. They're very good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've had that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I had peach alizé.
What's peach alizé?
It's a drink.
Oh.
It's like a, I don't know if it's a wine or it's an alcoholic beverage.
Okay.
Sounds
sweet.
It was pretty good. It was sweet. It was good.
All right. And then did you have dessert?
Yes. Apple tart.
Ooh, yum, 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 yum.
Yeah, it was good.
But you didn't make anything?
No, I didn't make anything. No, I was told I do not need to.
Nice.
That's
also,
the dream.
Also, I probably made mac and cheese and she already had it.
Dream.
Yeah, that's funny because our Thanksgiving has mac and cheese too. My cousin makes the best mac and cheese. It's fucking amazing. Ooh. It's so good.
I love a good homemade mac and cheese.
Yeah.
This one had, I think she had pepper jack in it and it didn't.
Oh, no. Really, no. Don't like mess that. With. Mm-mm.
It's like seven cheeses or something.
No, thank you. You don't need.
Yeah, it was very heavy.
Mm. Well, tasty, I mean, mac and cheese is always heavy, but you don't need pepper jack. That's.
Yeah.
That I don't want much. Pepper jack.
No.
You know what? I don't want pepper jack in anything. Actually.
I like it on a sandwich.
I don't think I do. I'll get back to you on that.
All right, Christine.
So, you know, I'm going to tell you my favorite story from Thanksgiving.
Okay. You went to Ohio.
I'm going to skip right over that.
Right.
Enough said.
Right.
I don't know if it's my favorite story. It's my most me story.
Mm-hmm.
So we came back very late at night.
Okay.
Our flight got in at midnight or so.
On Saturday?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we Lyft home.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, we don't want to park and pay. It's crazy to do that. It costs so much. So we always Lyft there, Lyft home. And we, you know, I don't know if you've lifted from the LAX, but you then, when you get out at the airport, you take like one of those shuttle buses over to the Lyft and Uber parking lot,
Is
not, it's like off adjacent to the airport, right? It's a little bit of a drive. So, you know, we're all crammed in there with our suitcases and the kids. Everybody's tired. We get off the bus and Benji's like, oh, I don't feel very good. I go, yeah, it's probably, you know, the bus jerking us around, you know, and just have the window open when we get into the Lyft. So we get into the Lyft and it's strawberry car freshener.
Nope.
Real strong.
Nope.
I'm just like, oh boy. So Benji has his car window down and we get on the freeway. So then he has to roll it up. But then he's off the freeway pretty quickly. You know, you can go that sort of not freeway way home from the airport. It's, let's say it's an economically depressed area.
Okay.
A lot of the way, you know, you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
Benji falls asleep.
Oh, okay.
We're like, great. And I'm sitting in the back. So Sven's in the front with a guy. Alex is in a little bit of the way back in this little tiny seat, and me and Benji are sitting together.
Okay.
He's asleep. Shoots up.
No.
Explosive vomit.
No.
Out,
no,
all over this new car, this guy's car.
Oh shit!
And it's just coming and coming.
Oh
and coming.
No! Oh, Benjamin!
And we're just like, I'm looking at my backpack to see if I have like a plastic bag. I don't. I have nothing. So I'm like putting my New York Times crossword on the floor and my like book review, just like to try to catch any of it. But it's just like between his legs, on his pants, on the seat, on the floor. On the back of the guy's seat.
Do the guys up front know what's happening?
I'm like, Sven, do you have anything? Yeah, it's loud. I mean, it's just, sorry, I should have I should have trigger warned what was coming. Maybe we can put that in post. Garen can put
it. Oh, no, they can be just as surprised as we were.
Yeah, no trigger warning.
So the guy pulls off into like this abandoned parking lot that's just kind of full of like garbage, and it's black night sky, you know, like, I'm like, great, seems like a great place to stop. And we all kind of get out of the car. I sit on the curb with Benjamin, his head's between his legs, and it's like, it's a real big mess. Sven runs over too. There's like luckily a 7-Eleven open. Runs over, comes back with like some napkins and like a little bag that you can put a hot dog in, as if this is going to be something Benji can use.
Is Benjamin still throwing up?
He's done, but he's just like, ugh. And the guy's like, I'm going to take some pictures if that's okay. And we're like, yeah, that's fine. We're so sorry. So then I'm
like, he wasn't freaking out.
He was not. He was calm, luckily. Okay. It's 1:30 a.m.
Oh.
You know, Sven and I haven't slept on the plane. We're exhausted. Everyone's exhausted. Right. So I go, Alex, I'm going to run over to the 7-Eleven and actually get some real stuff to clean this up. And like a legitimate bag. Not that Sven had done anything wrong. He just was like thinking really quickly. So Sven's like trying to clean it up with these napkins. I'm running. Ugh. Thank God Sven is good in these situations. Because
I
get really sick. If I get close, like...
Oh, I would have.
I don't handle this well. So we go over. I buy like that a big thing of those Clorox wipes. I buy these hand wipes. I get a plastic bag from the guy. I get Benji a bottle of water. We come back. He just leaves. The guy's like just leaves his car mat there. He doesn't even take it.
Oh, okay.
Because I was like, I can take it over and I can get more bottles of water. He's like, no, just leave it.
I don't want to ever see that thing again.
And then, so we cleaned out as best we can. Luckily, Benji had like pants under his pants because he had like the leggings like to keep him warm. So we just took his pants off, rolled him up, and like had a big pile of what we'd cleaned up and put it in a bag. But when we were there for like 30 minutes,
oh my God,
like trying to clean this guy's car out. And you know, then we went home and Benji had a bag, and luckily he didn't get sick again. But we had to pay him another $100 for him to be able to clean his car out, and because he had one more fare after that he then had to cancel.
Right.
Which I guess he can go to Lyft to try to get that money, but
so how do you settle on $100?
That's just what he asked for. So Sven starts texting me in the back.
Right.
He's like, he's asking for $100. What should I do? Because I'm worried that then he's also going to go after Lyft for the money, and then we're going to get charged twice.
Oh.
And I said, well, don't give him cash. Pay with, you know, Zelle or Viber so that we have a record. I go, it seems, you know, I guess it's fair because not only does he have to get his car cleaned out, but also he's going to lose that fare. Like, even if he goes after them for the fare, they only get like, I think they only get like 30 to 40% of each ride. So if he got another fare for like $100, he's only get 35 to 40 of that. So... It seemed like a lot, but also...
No, I mean, it costs that
like,
much to...
You got to get your car cleaned. That's at least
50. Did it smell like barf when you got back in?
It wasn't that bad, but yes. So that was our little middle of the night...
Jesus. So gross.
...adventure coming back from our trip.
Oh, my God.
But no urgent care, so, you know.
Yeah.
I guess it wasn't...
Yeah, that's good.
Could have been worse.
It could have been a lot worse. Oh, my God. Okay, so before we started taping, we were talking about...
Nipples?
Fargo. and the...
Nipple rings?
And the friend of the show, John Hamm's nipple rings on the show. Kind of shocking. And we were trying to determine whether that was written into the character...
Or he just had them.
Just has those and was like, hey, I think this character would have these.
I
also
really wish we had a Hamm hotline.
Yeah.
Like if we had a direct line to Hamm.
Right.
So we could just ask him that question.
I mean.
Because I think we're not the only ones who want to know this. I feel like.
I mean, I just assumed it was a costume thing, but Chris has me questioning now.
Guys, should we get to our topic?
Yes, let's.
I mean,
we really need to get to it.
We got to get moving because I'm going to scare you.
Okay. Yes.
Actually, not too much. I'm going to kind of scare you. I'm going to make you feel better. I'm going to tell you a story. Guys, everything's happening.
Okay.
Today, we're going to talk about scorpions.
Ooh.
Still loving you. The band.
You planned that.
The band. The actual anthropod. Did you know scorpions are anthropods?
No.
Do you guys know what an anthropod is?
No. All right. I don't know the definition of an anthropod.
I'll tell you because they have, this is, I just learned this. They have a hard exoskeleton and jointed appendages.
Okay.
Here's some other ones. Ready?
Yeah.
Spiders, scorpions, centipedes, millipedes.
Okay.
In that's the ones on land. Here are the ones in the ocean or in water. Crabs, crayfish, shrimp, lobsters, barnacles.
Wow, barnacles.
Yeah.
So this is embarrassing, but I always forget what a scorpion looks like. Is it long with like legs coming off of it?
Why don't you show her picture, Garen?
Yeah.
Because while you show her the picture, I can keep talking.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Keep my lips moving. That's a gross idea. Okay. The anthropods are considered the most successful animals on Earth.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think they invested in tech early. I mean,
they went to a good college.
They did. Yeah. You know what? Generational wealth.
Yep.
I think this has to do with how many they take up the most.
I knew he was going to do that. He fucking pulled up the picture of the band.
Germans. They're Germans. Or they're Austrian. I don't know. Sven knows. They're found on every continent except Antarctica.
Antarctica. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Yeah,
horrifying.
They're horrifying.
Their tail goes up in the air. And then a question mark.
That's what stings you.
Ah.
They don't bite. They sting. Okay. There are over 1,700 varieties of scorpions.
Whoa.
But only 25 are lethal to us. Okay.
Okay.
And those are primarily found in Asia, Africa, and South America.
Okay.
So if any of you listeners visit those places and get bitten by a scorpion.
Or live there.
I don't know if we have many listeners in Asia, Africa, and South America. Maybe South America, couple in Asia. I don't know that we have any listeners in Africa. But if we do, hello.
Hello.
You're the most likely to have the bad stuff happen. Okay. But the bad stuff I'm going to tell you about that could happen. Paralysis.
Oh, geez.
Red blood cell destruction. Hemorrhaging. Okay. Those are the bad things that can happen. And, you know, death. That's the really bad one.
Right.
For the rest of us, I'm going to share the more likely realities.
Okay.
Of the scorpions that we're actually more likely to encounter.
Okay.
Before I do that, I want to tell you about the deadliest scorpion in the world, thanks to a website called the Silver Grass Institute. This scorpion is called Death Stalker.
By the way, I think my chiropractor works out of the Silver Grass Institute.
Yes, I think that's where you get certified.
Yeah.
And one of the rules is you have to tell people if they're pretty or not. Out loud. Death Stalker Scorpion. As suggested by the name, they have very powerful venom that contains both cardiotoxins and neurotoxins. So that means it can damage your heart.
Oh.
And your nervous system.
Oh, geez.
So most scorpions are dangerous only to elderly or small children, but the Death Stalker is bad news for even the most healthy person. So, like, that means for us, any three of us, we're dead, like, in minutes.
Death Stalker.
I mean,
with a name like that, how do you expect it to act otherwise?
How is that not a movie?
Death Stalker? It sounds like a movie.
From the 80s?
Yes.
And, like,
with a guy played Renegade?
Yes.
What's that guy?
Lorenzo Lamas?
Yeah, Lorenzo Lamas.
Oh, and like a woman who wears all leather.
Yeah.
And has like blonde big hair.
Right.
It would be not Sharon Stone, but like
Heather Thomas.
Thank you. Death Stalker. And there's a Death Stalker 2 and a Death Stalker 3 straight to DVD.
Yeah.
One of them's in space.
Death Stalker in space? Yes. Anyone stung by a Death Stalker will experience excruciating pain, as well as a deadly allergic reaction. Okay? So,
can you call death an allergic reaction?
Well,
it's interesting.
Yeah, okay. I guess so. It's the primary cause of death when you get stung by a Death Stalker is pulmonary edema. And I'm going to remind you guys that is
swelling.
Too much fluid in the lungs,
mm.
Which seems really like a terrible way to die.
Yes.
Is kind of drowning
in your own
lung situation. That's not a way to go. They can be found in northeastern Africa and the Middle East. Oh, they're also in Algeria, Niger, Sudan, Somalia, Turkey, Iran, Oman, and Yemen. I mean, I don't know. Are we going to go to any of those places? We might go to Turkey.
Sure.
Right? That's a place that most likely anyone listening is not going to a lot of those places necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know where you're going. Why am I assuming that our listeners aren't going to these places?
You know I'm doing Christmas in Yemen.
That sounds like a Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
With Jodie Sweetin.
Yep.
I just saw her in a Lifetime movie the other night when we were flicking through channels at my mom's because she just has like regular cable in the basement. And Jodie Sweetin was in this movie where, I don't know, like they were all playing Rummy Cube, which is a German game we always play.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
The guy was trying to count in German and like, I really wanted to know where it was going, but not enough to keep watching it. Where you're like, is this going to be one of those murder Lifetime movies or is this one of those Christmas
holiday, right.
Lifetime movies?
I think it's funny that you couldn't tell within the first few minutes of watching it.
I don't know. Now, one more shout out, honorable mention to another scorpion, just because I thought it was interesting. Spitting thick tail black scorpion.
Ooh.
Now, this is a sexy sounding one.
Yeah, thick tail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This one's thick.
Some guys like the thick tail.
T-H-I-C-C. This one is called that because it's one of the biggest scorpions at 3.5 inches long.
Doesn't sound that big to me.
I was going
to
say, wait, that's a big scorpion?
I guess so. Yeah, they're not. Scorpions are pretty small.
Oh, my God. Do I live in a cartoon? I know yes. I've said this before, but I thought they were like 7 inches.
I think you're getting them confused with lobsters.
Yes. That's what I was thinking of. They walk sideways, right? Scorpions. Okay.
Yep. So its sting can deliver the amount of venom that has
and
the
yes,
same...
I know that's a crab and not a lobster.
I mean, we all had that in
our
head.
Sorry.
No, please. Please interrupt. Their venom has the potency of cyanide enough to kill an adult human male.
Jesus.
So probably the lady too. Okay, this is the thing that freaks me out. Okay. The spitting thick-tailed black scorpion has two different types of venom. So at first it gives you a warning dose.
Oh.
Which, I mean, that's all I'd need. I'm like, all right,
right,
I'm
out of here.
So if the person, not necessarily person, I mean, it's usually towards like an aggressor.
Okay.
Doesn't back off, right?
Mm-hmm.
The scorpion delivers a much more lethal second dose. Here's the other thing. Remember I told you they were spitting thick-tailed black scorpions?
Yeah.
They can spit their venom to a distance of up to 3 feet.
Ba-ding!
And have excellent aim.
So does one of the poisons, toxins, venom, sorry, come out of the tail and one comes out of the spit?
Yeah, I don't know on that. Sorry. Okay. I should have looked that up.
No, I'm just because even before you said the spitting, I was like, well, how does it know to deliver two different toxins? It must be that.
Like one comes from the butt spit. One comes from the butt.
Butt spit. Uh-huh.
One comes from their
That's
little
a different
mouth.
Lifetime movie.
Uh-huh. Butt spit. Killer butt spit. One comes from the butt. One comes from the mouth.
Right.
That's a good question. Maybe Garen can get that answered for us while I talk about the scorpion we might actually encounter IRL.
Okay.
All right. This is the most venomous species of scorpion found in North America. It's called the bark scorpion.
Okay.
They live in southern Arizona, but also southern California, into western New Mexico and adjacent Mexico, Baja California, Sonora, and Chihuahua. They carry a neurotoxin that causes extreme pain, similar to an electric shock.
Jeez.
Okay. If you have a severe case of a bark scorpion sting, you can have symptoms like vomiting, numbness, and if left untreated, bark scorpion stings can lead to death.
Wow.
Luckily, good news.
Yes.
I do this a lot, don't I? I
pointing upward?
My hands up in the air. Like I just don't care.
But you do.
I care so much. Too much, honestly. All right. Luckily, bark scorpion antivenin. Why do they say venin and not venom?
I've never heard of venin. I thought maybe you were saying it incorrectly.
I am saying it correctly.
Okay.
Is very effective and widespread. No one has died from a bark scorpion sting in America for the past 40 years.
Oh, okay.
So guys, we're not going to die.
All right, good.
Probably. All right. Do you want to know where these fun little critters are found?
Yes.
Okay. Many places. Okay. They're great climbers.
Right.
So not only rocks or in rock crevices, but also in trees or high on rock walls. Here's what else they love. People's homes.
Oh, no.
Trapped in sinks or bathtubs.
What?
Climbing walls or in a dark closet.
Oh, my God.
You know what? I'm starting to like my spiders a lot more.
Did you say they're in California?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So any day now, they're going to show up at your house.
Guess what?
I'm riding on the back of that tortoise you have, or turtle or whatever you have.
Oh, and a snake now.
You did get the snake?
We have a snake, yes. Okay. I can't believe I didn't start with that.
What's the snake's name?
Fanta.
Oh, that's cute.
She's really cute. I'm going to show you guys pictures. Okay. She's a real cutie.
Is Alex in love?
Alex is in big time love.
Cute.
They do have predators.
Okay.
Get ready for this. Large centipedes.
Oh.
Which, like, who wants to see that TikTok?
The centipede fighting a scorpion?
I'm so freaked out by centipedes. I really do not like centipedes. I'm like, they're my rat.
But what about the game Centipede? Because that's my favorite game.
I do like the game, but an actual centipede, no.
Have you seen one in real life?
Yeah.
And are they really creepy?
Oh, they're so creepy.
Okay.
Tarantulas, lizards, birds, especially owls, which yes. I'm excited about since yes. we've had our owl making appearances.
That's right.
In our owl box. I got to put that up on our newsletter or whatever. Mammals like bats, shrews, and grasshopper mice. And I Googled shrews and grasshopper mice because I had no idea what they looked like.
I've never heard of a grasshopper mice.
No, they kind of look like little gerbils.
So it's a mouse, but it's called a grasshopper. It's so weird when they name things other things that they're not.
I know.
Like chicken fried steak.
Oh, yeah.
Grasshopper mice.
And guess what? There's no chicken about it.
Right.
Yeah, grasshopper mice. Guess what? There's no grasshopper involved.
Do they eat grasshoppers, maybe? They eat scorpions?
I didn't read that much about it. I just looked at the picture.
Just never heard of it.
And I looked at the shrew because I was like, well, in my mind, I thought, well, a shrew, what does a shrew look like? Does a shrew look like a mole? Yes.
Oh, it does?
They look very similar. They have that little pointy,
weird
nose that comes up. And then it brought up the picture of that one that has the thing that goes like this.
Yeah, looks like a Star Wars
like
character.
Like a starfish face.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you some extra fun facts.
Okay.
Before I give you your first aid. I knew this. I don't know if you guys know this. Bark scorpions will glow a green color, fluorescent, under ultraviolet light. Did you guys know this?
No.
You know how I knew this? Because we were going to go camping in Death Valley.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things you do at night is you take ultraviolet lights and you go scorpion hunting.
Oh.
Not to catch them, but just to look at them at night.
Oh.
And they light up fluorescent.
But they won't attack you if you're shining a light in their face?
They don't come after you. Okay. Like, I don't think they're that aggressive.
And I'm sorry. So you have seen them light
up? No, because we didn't do that.
Oh, I thought you said you did. Sorry.
We that's how I learned about that.
Okay.
Bark scorpions travel in packs of 20 to 30
no.
during winter months.
No.
Chills. Uh-uh. Chills.
Uh-uh.
Get ready for this one. On that note, if you spot one in your home, know they are probably with their friends.
Oh, they got a gang behind them.
Just like humans, the females are pregnant for 9 months. Thought that was interesting.
What?
Yeah.
Didn't you assume that the larger an animal is, the longer they're pregnant?
Yeah. I would think they'd be pregnant for like a minute.
Yeah. That's wild.
They give birth to 25 to 35
okay.
at a time.
Oh, barf.
And they're all in your house. Oh, they also have a lifespan of 6 years.
Wow.
So
that's impressive.
Otherwise, on another sickening note, if you find yourself with a scorpion problem in your home, guess what?
You got
6 years.
Yeah. Well, but then they're going to, it's more than that because they're going to reproduce.
Do you want to know how to keep them out of your home?
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to give you some good tips. All right. If you encounter a scorpion, remain calm.
Yes.
And wear protective gloves.
Oh.
You know, you can scoop them up in like a, you know, dish or what, like, you know how you do with a spider and you scoop it up with a cup and you put a thing over it and then you dump it out your house. But have gloves on when you do that.
Okay.
Like, don't just do it without gloves.
Yeah.
Also, just call pest control if you want to get a professional involved. You know, they're going to use chemicals.
Yeah.
Obviously, whatever your comfort level is with that, do what you want to do.
Well, yeah, because if you just take one outside, great, you got rid of that one.
One, there's 50 more.
Right.
Yeah, just burn.
Burn your house down. Jeez.
Start
okay.
From scratch.
This is how you keep them out of your house to begin with. Eliminate standing water. A lot of this is the same with like mosquitoes. and rats and all that critters, right? It's a lot of common sense advice. Seal cracks and crevices, especially around doors and windows where they can gain access to your home.
Sure.
Inspect cabinets, closets, and other dark places on a regular basis. I don't want to do that. That sounds terrifying. Yeah. Clear away brush, debris, and wood piles from the perimeter of your home. Scorpions feed on other insects such as crickets. Eliminate crickets by turning outdoor lights off at night.
Okay, you want to get rid of the crickets so that the scorpions don't come.
You want to take away their food sources.
Right.
Here's a fun one. You'll like this, Danielle. Bring a cat into the residence.
Into the residence.
Well, at the residence.
Okay.
Or a chicken, it says. I say, why not both? Because some cats enjoy hunting scorpions, keep one around. Because that can assist in keeping scorpions away. Chickens, like cats, like eating them. Therefore, obtain an outside chicken cage.
So it wouldn't hurt the cat?
I guess not. Chicken? No.
Okay.
They like to eat them up. Crunchy crunch.
Yeah.
You know, just like
we all like something crunchy.
We like to eat a fried grasshopper now and then. I had some at the Halloween party a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
They were spicy. Cinnamon oil. So cinnamon oil has strong scorpion repellent properties. Scatter cinnamon oil in dark locations on potted plants and around floorboards to drive scorpions out. Sticky traps. Those can work because they, you know, like the same kind of stuff you trap other pests with. All right.
Well, that's smart. I didn't think of that.
All right. First aid. You've been stung.
Yeah.
All right. Guess what? You're not going to usually need medical treatment.
Really?
You can treat it at home. Ice, elevation, pain medication, antihistamines, maybe a gummy. That was okay. That wasn't Cleveland Clinic. Right. That was me.
Right.
I'm not advocating drug use, but like, listen, it's legal in California, now Ohio. Okay, go to the emergency room if you or someone else experiences any of the following scorpion sting symptoms. Numbness all over your body, difficulty breathing, difficulty swallowing, thick tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Think your husband had that recently. I heard that on Never Not Funny.
He did.
Sending him my love and light.
Thank you.
He's okay now.
He's okay with that.
He's okay.
Five other things have sprung up since.
Oh, that poor guy.
Yeah.
Seizures, restlessness, ooh, roving eye movements, muscle twitching. That's my mid-Atlantic coming out. High blood pressure, abdominal pain. Okay. Want to know how they're diagnosed? A scorpion sting? This sounds fun. Your doctor may diagnose a scorpion sting with a tap test. In this test, your provider will tap the place where you were stung to see if the pain gets worse.
You can just have your kid do that.
No thanks. Okay. So, you know, if you start having worse symptoms, go to the ER, call your doctor, go to the urgent care. All right, guys, holy cow, are you ready for a story?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to share the story of Abigail Baronian. She's a contributor to Outside Magazine, very outdoorsy person, grew up in Washington State skiing, backpacking, swimming, fishing, lots of experience in the outdoors. In June of 2022, she hikes into the Grand Canyon from the South Rim to Phantom Ranch to meet up with a bunch of her friends. She's joining up for the last 10 days of a 16-day rafting trip down a section of the Colorado River. Okay. We know about these trips because Sarah Schaefer came in.
Yes.
She talked about this. She has a book about it. Sounds fun and terrifying.
Yes, both those things.
Okay. So this is actually from Backpacker Magazine. I read the transcript of a podcast where this girl shares the story.
Okay.
And we can link the full podcast episode in our newsletter. I'm summarizing it because it's really long. We can't cover all of it here, okay?
Okay.
So her first week's great. She hiked in actually with COVID. She didn't know she had COVID.
Oh, no.
Until she came out and took a PCR test when it was all over. Maybe it's relevant to the story, maybe not, but I just think it's worth mentioning. Everyone there had already had COVID. She didn't give anybody COVID. Okay. There's 3 days left in the trip. They set up camp at a place called Whitmore Wash. It's really hot. That day had been like 115 degrees. So she and her friend, Grayson, are sleeping outside on the ground on their their sleeping mats. She just has a sheet covering her. They're talking. It's around 10:30 at night. Her friend Grayson feels something crawling in his arm. I'm going to go to the two of them. Now,
okay,
Grayson, I was like, what the fuck is that? Get it off me. And I flicked it off me, Abigail, but inadvertently flicked it directly onto me.
Oh,
and it went right into Abby's bed sheets, like full four speed straight onto my thigh. And whatever it was stung me immediately. Pretty soon she was screaming. I was like, oh, fuck, that didn't feel like anything I've ever experienced before. And I was like rolling over. I'm tangled in the sheets with whatever it is that's stinging me, and it gets me on the other leg.
Oh, no.
Here's Grayson. So we start looking through the sheets, and I turn on my headlamp, and we're looking through the sheets. And then finally, I looked over, and my headlamp fell in the sand. And we see this little scorpion with its little pinchers, like, straight up in the air, and it's just scuttling away. And I was like, oh, shit. So Grayson hits it with a flip-flop. They call their friend over, who is a WFR, which stands for Wilderness First Responder. It's a standard certification for guides, search and rescue, and the military. Their WFR person is like, yeah, it's worse than a bee sting, but you're going to be okay. So they keep an eye on her for anaphylaxis, but pretty much everyone is not really that worried.
Hmm.
They get her a cot to sleep on. Everyone goes back to bed. All right, so I'm going to...
Because certainly it can't climb up to a cot.
No, they're not good at... We already established they're like hanging from trees. Right. So I'm going to go back to Abigail directly again. Ugh. I'm lying under the stars. They go to bed, and I'm like, man, my tongue feels kind of funny.
Oh, no.
And it was this weird, like, cooling sensation across the tongue. And I was like, that's weird. I'd taken an Oxy that a friend had in his med kit in case something big and serious happened. And I'd taken it because I was like, I know this is going to hurt really bad. And I was like, maybe it's just from the drug. Like, maybe I'm passing out. And it got really hard to keep my eyes open. I was like, okay, I'm going to fall asleep. And then I got this crazy sensation that started to spread over my whole body. Like all of my limbs were asleep. Like my face, my neck, my back, my arms, my legs, and my chest started to get really tight. And I was like, this is kind of scary. Shit. But I have venom in my body. Maybe this is just what venom feels like, I guess. And then I opened my eyes and realized that I couldn't see the stars.
Oh, God.
My eyes wouldn't track. So I would open my eyes and my eyeballs would just roll around in my head.
What?
I didn't have any motor control over them. And that was when I started to get kind of freaked out.
Kinda.
Yeah. Terrifying. I knew that scorpions had a neurotoxin that was a word that we had thrown around after I got stung. And so I was like, okay, it's going to maybe affect my nervous system. But I didn't expect to do what it did, which was to totally impair all motor function very seriously. And this is, we're going to hear from this woman, Marin, who's an expert who also comes on. She says, it turns out the neurotoxins in scorpion venom work by making your nerves hypersensitive, causing the sodium channels that are supposed to open and close to transmit messages to get stuck in the on position. This can cause extreme pain and make some movements difficult to control. In Abigail's case, her brain would tell her eyes to move, and instead of moving a little, they would move a lot. But she didn't know any of this at the time. All she knew is that she was trapped in what felt like a horrible dream. This is Abigail again. I don't know if you've ever had a nightmare. You're like trying to run away from something, but your body won't respond. Or you like open your mouth to yell and nothing comes out. And that really freaked me out. So I went to wake up Grayson and I was like trying to say his name and it wouldn't come out. I had to think really hard to get my vocal cords to engage and actually say the name. And when it came out, I could hear my voice and it sounded really weird and pinched and slurred. So she's also in intense pain where she had been stung multiple times. So even if the fabric of the sheet brushed against her skin, she was yelping in pain.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's 2 a.m. Grayson's trying to discuss with her the difficulties of actually getting her evacuated from the bottom of the Grand Canyon in the middle of the night.
Oh my God.
But she can't even speak to him to have the conversation. So she's like, I can't make this decision for myself. And he's like, I'll bet you'll feel better by the morning. Oh. When the sun comes up, we'll talk about it.
What?
So everybody else is asleep. And she says, I'm just sort of like, except for when I wake him up, alone in the world. So this
Wait a second.
Yeah. So they're just like, we'll decide in the morning. And she's in this nightmare. So okay. She says, in that period between midnight, where the scary symptoms set in, and 5 a.m. when the sun rose, I was kind of there alone with my thoughts and my uncomfortable sensations. I did my best not to let a thought loop happen where I would ruminate on the same thing because I knew it was dangerous, both for my experience and my mental health. But I kept dipping my toe into this pool of panic. Like, do I have a neurological damage? What's this going to look like when I get back home?
Right.
Am I going to be able to have a conversation with my boyfriend? Am I going to be able to go for a run? What are my limitations going to be? What's really happening to me? And then I thought of it like as if someone was tightening a lid on my chest, like a jar lid, and I'd feel it screwed tighter. And I'd be like, okay, I got to get out of that. So I would just focus on my breath. That was really the only thing that I could do to sort of observe my thoughts and sensations rather than be prisoner to them. This is kind of funny. She says, honestly, and sorry, Mom and Dad, but I spent some real concerted time experimenting with psychedelics in the last few years. And I think that my experience taking psychedelics was really helpful in this context. they gave me a lot of practice in taking a situation and being like, this is what you're experiencing right now. It's uncomfortable. It's weird. You don't have a lot of control over it, but you're going to be okay and it's going to pass. So she's saying like she thought of it as like a bad trip.
Yeah.
She didn't want to get evacuated, she says, because at the time she didn't want to admit that it was that serious.
What?
Like she kept thinking like, I'm going to be better in the morning. I think it's that thing also. She doesn't say this. I'm saying it, where women are like, I don't want to be a problem. Luckily, they had an EMT on their team and her vitals were steady the whole time. So that like calmed everybody. So yeah, her friend Grayson says, who's also an editor at large at Outside Magazine, he says, other than being paralyzed, she was more or less okay, which seems weird to say.
Well, wait, you're saying they had an EMT, but the EMT was like, yeah, just wait till the morning?
Well, I don't know if the EMT was involved until morning. I'm not. It seems like they were not as alarmed as they should have been.
I mean, she's saying, what kind of neurological damage am I going to have when I get home? But obviously she couldn't talk. So anyway, all right.
I think it was hard for her to.
Yeah, she couldn't really
make
that.
Them aware of how bad it was because she also wasn't able to speak. But not being able to speak seems so bad that
yes,
it should have
exactly
been the emergency. So 7 a.m., her vision's better. She can focus on things.
Oh, thank God.
Her speech is improving. So they use a sat phone. They have like a satellite phone. They call an ER nurse that they know. And she's like, this doesn't sound normal. And they were like, you know, she's like, you should evacuate her. But then the ER nurse and maybe a doctor or someone else does some more research and they realize, wait, these symptoms are all very in line with what like a little child would experience.
Okay.
With the same kind of sting.
Okay.
So they make a decision to get her out of there by boat. So they put her on one of the rafts and they get one, like one of their best rowers. They have one person on each side of her and she's like crying in pain through a lot of it. But by the time she gets to, I think, another camp. I don't think they're not able to. She's not like she can hike out of the canyon.
Yeah.
She can't walk. So they're just taking her to the next camp. Like everyone else is going to keep the rowing and they're just going to take her to the next camp. By that night, the next night, she can walk. And then the next day she can carry her bags and move around pretty normally. So she's recovering her systems pretty fast. So her friend Grayson had saved the scorpion that had bitten her, and he put it in a bottle of formaldehyde to give it to her like as a like remembrance kind of like of what she'd gone through. And she starts investigating why the sting had affected her so much.
Yeah.
Because she's like, this doesn't make sense. So she does, like, she kind of becomes her own researcher. She gathers all this research online from different studies. She reads a bunch of scientific papers. And then at one point, she listens to this other podcast. It's called Ologies. Have you guys heard of it? It's like a comedic science podcast. It's pretty good. And a guest on the podcast named Lauren Esposito was a curator of arachnology at California Academy of Sciences. So Abigail reaches out to Lauren to say, hey, I'd love to share my story and get your perspective on it. And so she sent some images to Lauren. And Lauren's like, yeah, I mean, looks like a bark scorpion and probably an Arizona bark scorpion. I guess that's a breed of one of them. And she said, but can you get me some more images of the top of a scorpion? So she sends her another photo and she's like, well, maybe that's not a bark scorpion. Can you get a better picture? So she takes that out of the jar. She's getting like really close up videos. And then she's like, no, that's not what she says is the Centuroides sculpturata, which is like the official name.
Okay.
She's like, not a bark scorpion. I don't actually know what that is. So she says it's likely one of the far more deadly cousins from northern Mexico. And so they wrap up this, you know, the people who worked on this piece wrapped it up by saying, like, this is a really important discovery for scientists who study scorpions, because they're saying, like, it's bringing up all these questions. Like, is this just a one-off incident that happened to Abigail? Was this maybe just a lone scorpion that somehow got transported outside of its normal range by some kind of human activity? Has a new population of scorpions been established in the United States? And that now the United States, for the first time, is home to a deadly species of scorpions? Or is this a new, like, is this a species that already exists? Or isn't there now a new deadly species? So Abigail's planning to send her specimen, well, she probably already has because this was from, you know, 2022, to a specialist at a University of Mexico to verify the exact species.
Wow.
And she followed up with saying she doesn't feel traumatized by the incident, but she's not going to sleep on the ground outside anymore.
Oh, my God. And then she came home and had COVID?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The little bow on top of the shit sundae.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Intense.
Oh, my God.
Terrifying also. Just the idea of being trapped in your body all night long.
Sounds like a nightmare. It's a total nightmare. Oh, my God. It's maybe the worst thing we've ever heard on the show. I can't imagine it. It's terrible. All right. Well, speaking of the worst things ever, I got to pee. So we should probably take a break, right?
One of the worst things ever. That's actually the worst thing I've ever heard.
Yep. Break time. We'll be right back.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, Christine. How was your break?
You know what? I enjoyed it.
Did you?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I did not look at my phone.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I don't think I did either.
You know what? We have a guest today.
Yeah.
And we often have guests.
Right.
And today we have actor, dialect coach, amazing, incredible human being, Kim Griffin. You know where you can find her?
Where?
Atwater Village in a film. Nope. Cut that. It's not a film. It's a live show.
She even wrote it down and got it wrong.
Radical. Are you gonna miss me? Guess what? It's there till December 11th, right? I didn't write that down and I remembered it.
Very Kim? Good.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
On the first half of the show, we talked about deadly scorpions. And now we're gonna talk about dying on stage. So what is your story, Kimberly?
Oh, Lord. So many, many moons ago, long time ago, this was actually my first show out of college. I got a BFA in theater at Boston University, and I was really lucky to like get some work and work in some regional theaters. And so I booked a production of Venus by Susan Laurie Parks, which is a very incredible play. I think Susan Laurie Parks is like one of our best playwrights. And it's very weird, right? Like It has like an ensemble, and then you have like these kind of larger-than-life circus characters. And so I was in the ensemble, and I was playing a conjoined twin. This is like the idea is like it's a freak show in like the 1800s. Okay. But the concept, right? Like every production that you're in has a concept. And that's why we get things like, you know, Shakespeare in Space. Right. But the concept was just that like the entire ensemble, we were in full clown face. And so I wore for the show black riding boots that came up to my knees and black pants and a white tank top and suspenders.
Okay.
And then my hair was pulled back and I just had full clown face.
Okay.
And so we would pop in and out of these other characters and, you know, do little bits throughout the show. I would be a judge, I would be a lover, whatever. And we're working with, it was a young company from BU, and then a lot of older actors from, we were in Olney, Maryland, which is kind of not in, it's not cool, it's not hip.
Okay.
There was a chicken shop where we got sandwiches on break, you know?
Olney, Maryland?
Olney, O-L-N-E-Y.
That's the name of the city. Okay.
That's the name of the city and the theater. And this theater is one of those like charming theaters that used to be a barn. And they do really well when they do Peter Pan. And so they're doing Venus, which is
super
a black
weird
play for black people. And it's all, lots of the white people walked out, right? Like they were like, this is too fucking weird for
us. So like we like Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah,
and
exactly. They're like, wait, so the black people are the good people and the white people are, I have to go. I don't, what is happening?
This is making me feel things I don't want to feel.
100%.
So the black people were in white face, right? Because they're in clown makeup?
No, the black people got to just be black people, luckily, in this production.
Oh, okay.
Susan Laurie Parks does a wonderful job of uplifting the black experience and you know, just it really was a little too much for the
gotcha
the theater's audience. And so I,
oh my God,
so funny.
I'm just so 21.
Yes.
I'm so fucking stoked to be there and excited about art and like I'll do anything.
Right.
And so they build this really elaborate set and we would it was like circus risers, and there was a little opening in the middle that we would like pop out of to do little bits. Mm. Cool. I'm into it. So we have this bit where I had to come out on stage with this older actress and do this little scene. And I'm wearing like a mantilla, which for those of you who don't know what that is, it's a Spanish headdress. So it's that thing that you see in pictures that's very tall and then has like a curtain of lace that comes down all around
you. Oh my God, this is amazing.
And so I'm on stage in this huge mantilla and I do this scene with Denise, this wonderful actress. And they'd been like, well, now, Kimberly, we need to get this set piece off stage. And so if you could pick it up and just like move it as you guys are exiting. And all the older actresses are like, don't fucking do that. That's not your job.
Right.
We're in the union.
Right.
You're gonna, and I'm like, guys, it's fine. Like, I can totally do it. Like, I'm young and I'm like, I was so stoked to show up. And so we're in our third preview and we wrap this cute scene and I bend down to pick up this chaise lounge, which I had to pick up. And then I had to bend in half and walk backwards under this doorway to get back into the stage. And so I'm doing it. And I'm fully body mic'd and I have this huge piece of furniture and I bend down and I go back and I snap the base of my thumb in between the frame of the set and this furniture piece.
Oh.
And as it happens, I'm like, my thumb just broke in half. And I drop the piece of furniture and I start animal howling into my mic. They just hear it from the house. The assistant director comes back and is like, what the fuck happened? And I'm like, and they're like, of course, because I'm the young 21-year-old, I don't know what they thought of me, but they basically just immediately are like, it's not that bad. You're fine. It's going to be okay. Come on, we got to keep going. And I'm like, I need to go to the hospital. Like, I immediately went into shock, and I wouldn't even take my hand off of it. I'm like, we need to go to the hospital. We need to go to the hospital. I've been injured many times. This is not something I've ever been like, this shit ends now.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so they come over and everybody's placating me and they're like, let us take a look. And I move the thing.
You move what thing? What's the thing?
I had like, I don't know, like a cup towel they'd given me, an ice pack. And they're like, whoa, okay. Yeah. And the stage manager's husband is there. I've met this guy once and he's like, all right, I'm going to take you to the ER. I think it's a sprain. You know, when I was 10, I was riding my bike and I fell off and I sprained my thumb and I really thought it was broken. And I'm like, maybe that's what's going on. Okay. So I get in the truck in clown face, in my full costume and my body mic.
Do you still have the men?
They take the mantilla off because I literally like couldn't move without it. Somebody had to do that though because I had no hands. And I just kind of like hunkered down in this man's pickup truck and he drove me to the local, you know, urgent care, which in Sandy Springs, Maryland, at like maybe 8:30 at night. I wish I had on videotape what those people must have thought watching this crying clown woman walk in with just like a totally straight up average country man in a plaid shirt. Like we looked so, they're like, what has he done to her?
They're
like,
still talking about it.
I hope so. Somebody's still in therapy over this. And so I'm just like, quietly crying. He goes and signs me in and they're like, okay, so you have to take off the body mic. And I'm like, what? And they're like, well, it can interfere with the equipment in the hospital. So you've got to get that off. So this man that I'd never met, while I'm holding my thumb with an ice pack, keeping it compressed, had to undress me in the lobby because my pack was in my pants and the thing was around my chest.
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
I had to stand up and turn around in a circle so they could get the cord off of me.
Oh my God.
And he put it back, you know, into a pack and I sit there and there, you know, he's still telling me about his bike incident and he's just real sure that I'm fine and I'm having like a lady experience, some hysteria maybe.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know what the fuck is going on. So I'm sitting there and they finally have a doctor come out. And she's like, we're just going to take a look. We just want to figure out where to put you in line.
Right.
And I'm like, okay. And she's like, can you move it? I'm like, I really don't want to move it. I really don't. And she's like, we're just going to lift it up real quick and take a quick look. I'm like, okay. And I lift it and she goes, whoa, no. We got to get her back. We got to get her back right now.
The doctor said, whoa.
They could see my bone. They could see it. Like it hadn't come through the skin, but it was, you can see a scar where this happened. Like I still feel it when it rains. Like it snapped my metacarpal in half.
Oh
like
my God.
Broke my fucking bone. And so the nurse then is like, shit, give her some pain medicine. Like she hasn't had anything. And I'm like, no, they gave me some Tylenol. She's like, no, get her in the back.
Yeah, good,
get her
good, fucking. Good.
stabilized. And all of a sudden, Sunny's like, well, I guess it wasn't a sprain. And so I had to go back and hold. And, you know, like my parents aren't there. And they went on with the show. I guess the assistant director went on with my script so that they could finish the performance.
I was going to ask. We had an audience. My God.
Right. And so then also while I'm sitting there, I'm like, I fucked up and I let everybody down. I'm unprofessional and I shouldn't have been offered a spot in the union. Like, this is all my fault. Like, if I'd been better at carrying the set piece, I wasn't supposed to fucking touch.
The giant piece of furniture. Right? Right. This is why they have a union to do that.
Right.
Right.
Theoretically. But yeah, that's kind of how the break happened. And then I had to wait for a long time. They wanted to have a surgeon come and take a look at it and place it and put it in a cast because they were like, if we do this wrong, we're going to have to do surgery. And they put me in a cast that at the time, it literally looked like a softball. Like, it was just, my thumb was so swollen that it was huge. And I had to go back and get a new cast 3 days later. And I did the entire run of the show in a sling.
With
my fucking clown makeup. But that was one of the weirder things that I've survived in my life.
That's amazing.
So I just have a question. When you say you were mic'd, does that mean the audience can hear you through the experience?
They heard the, at the top of, they heard all that howling, like they heard it.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
And somebody had to go out and make an announcement and be like, sorry, one of our actors broke a bone and we're going to have to take a pause and put somebody else in. I also wonder, like, where the audience is. What did they think?
Like, at what point were they? Did they figure out to turn off your mic?
Yeah, I know.
Were you just like they hear you at like
at
driving
ER,
in the
truck or awkward conversation? I know. It's more fun to imagine that for sure.
Yeah,
like, but I think it stopped working as soon as I left the theater. But just the fact that it had the battery on it was like too much for the ER. And I'll just never forget being undressed by this stranger to get the mic off alone, and just like all these country people staring at me with their, you know, I don't know what they had going on. High blood pressure, a cold.
Did you go through all, did anyone like give you the dignity of taking off the makeup or was it just on the whole entire time?
When we got into the back, I was like, can someone please get this off of my face? And they were like, we don't really have anybody. And after a while, I had a boyfriend who was also working at the theater. And of course, as a 21-year-old, all I really wanted was my boyfriend. Uh-huh. And so he finally showed up and he took the makeup off my face.
Oh, good.
And sat with me and made a lot of jokes and made me feel better.
Oh, that's sweet.
But it was, I wish I had more pictures of that actual experience because I have the pictures of the clown face and it was
horrifying.
It was horrifying.
Oh my God.
I'm also, though, I'm not a clown person.
Who is, though? No one people, is except for clowns.
But an actor is so many
just
actors are like, I love acting. And you're like, clowning? Clowning? I don't know.
No, it's a whole thing. That was great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, really. No
that was
problem.
A great story.
Awesome story.
I'm going to remind everyone, I'm going to say it right this time.
Yeah.
To go see Kim in Radical, Are You Gonna Miss Me? Over in Atwater Village at IAMA through December 12th.
It's fun.
11th.
So December 11th, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What is it about?
Radical is great. It's a play about a Latine woman who is really kind of in the worst part of her life and gets a job at a fulfillment center and meets a white woman who's also kind of run onto some hard times, and they fall into kind of a far right radicalist group.
Whoa.
And they do something really intense and it impacts all of the relationships. There are only three women in the play. It runs 93 minutes, so it feels like sitting and watching a movie. There's no intermission. And the other two actresses that I'm working with are fucking legendary. It's so inspiring to watch them. I feel really, really lucky to see their work.
Well, again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure to meet you in person, finally.
Yes, nice to meet you. And we'll be right back with What Did We Learn Today?
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Chris, are you ready to learn what we learned today?
Yes.
Who wants to watch Cairo Bros, an E! Original, adjusting spines and attitudes? Very nice, Garen. Oh, yes. Christopher Showerman was George in George of the Jungle 2 and a hell of a masseuse. Alize, is that how you say it?
Alize
is an award-winning blend of French vodka, because they're known for their vodka, and cognac, infused with exotic natural flavors. Alize is authentic and adaptable. It can be enjoyed in a mixed drink, a cocktail on the rocks, or as a shot. Alize is a brand with its roots in the heart of modern pop culture. Well, that's some bullshit, because I never heard of it. It's got its roots in the heart of... That's a mouthful that means nothing.
It really doesn't.
Can you spell it for me?
A-L-I-Z-E with an agu.
Never heard of it. Well, I've never heard of it, so apparently it doesn't exist.
Listen to this.
Yes.
Lyft policy says customers can be charged up to $250 for damage or cleaning. So you haven't been contacted since then, right? So we're all good.
Not as far as I know.
I used to work for Uber in their customer service, and I got a lot of those. Why am I being charged $200? Because you were a drunk who threw up in the back of this guy's car.
Watch out,
you
then.
Probably lucked you might... out that you paid him under the table.
Yep.
Oh.
Although he could come after you through Lyft again.
Yeah. Hopefully he won't. Watch out for that.
I'll keep you all posted.
Yeah.
Okay. At a press conference after the season premiere, Ham revealed that he actually wore a set of specially made lifelike prosthetic nipples for his shirtless scenes and joked that he had a nippleologist on hand to help him with touch-ups. So he's saying it's not just that they didn't use fake...
I think that's... He made that
he's
up.
He's being funny.
He's being funny. Right?
I don't know. Can you make
fake... I mean, they would
fake...
just be pasties that you would just put over your...
Why wouldn't you just use fake rings?
Because how do you get them in there?
Well, they're not. They just look clasped, just like fake nose rings. You know, you just...
Yeah, but remember, they weren't rings. They were like those barrels.
Barrels?
I don't think they were rings.
You must have a bigger TV than I do. Or did you just stand really close?
I just paused it and
got really
and
close.
Stared,
her
yeah.
eyeballs touched the barrels.
Right. Thick-tailed scorpion is a dangerous medically significant scorpion which can both sting and spray its curtoxin venom. The first droplet of venom differs from the rest. Ah, it's like pre-cum and is referred to as pre-venom. A further potassium channel inhibitor, parabutoxin, has been isolated from the venom of P. transvallicus.
That's its scientific name.
Okay. Scorpions have healthy juices in their mouths. They spit on prey pieces that help melt them. Wait. They spit on prey pieces that help melt them into a chunky soup the scorpion will then consume. I'm going to throw up.
Chunky soup.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, well, thanks for listening.
Thanks for coming, guys.
Hope everyone had a nice holiday. And until next time, remain calm.